Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi. My name is Adina Schmidman. Please join us for the Max and Yeti Mandra Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Summer Beit Midrash program for 2 weeks of learning starting July 26th with celebrated educators Rebbetzin Peshi Neuberger, Rabbanit Shani Tarragon, Michal Horowitz, Sarah Lippman, Leah Feinberg, Rivka Marin, and Avigail Myers. Class topics include Tanakh, Halacha, Tikkun Hamidot, and Jewish history. Register at ou.org/women/elite2022. That's ou.org/women/ALIT2022. And now for today's perek.
Welcome to Torah Imecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we will be studying Yeshayahu, Perek Chavtet, 29. This nevuah begins with the word hoy, woe is to me, and the Nevi again is expressing sadness and pain on the siege that Ashur will place around Yerushalayim. The Nevi calls out and repeats the word Ariel twice, calling out Ariel, Ariel, similar to Avraham, Avraham, as Hashem calls out to him back in Sefer Bereshit. The word Ariel can be referring to the Mizbeach, as Yechezkel called it, because the fire lays on top of the Mizbeach of the altar like a lion resting. Some understand the word Ariel being a poetic name for the Beis HaMikdash itself, since it resembled the shape of a lion's body, which is wider in the front and narrower towards the back, like the Mikdash building. And we also could say that the name Ariel represents Yerushalayim, which contains both the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. Just like the next phrase in the Pasuk, Kiryat Chana David, which is the city that David camped and built a home in, the capital of his kingdom, the city that he conquered. David HaMelech is invoked as the protector of Yerushalayim for all ages. The Malbim notes the mention of David could also be a subtle message to the people hearing this nevuah to fear God and follow in the ways of his kingdom, similar to what David did. The word Sfu Shana al Shana, talking about a year on top of a year, and holidays and cycles of holidays being mentioned, could be referring to the troubles that are going to come to Yerushalayim and the amount of time that it's going to be for. This could be referring to 2 years plus a cycle of holidays, equaling 3 years, which historically was the length of the siege around Yerushalayim. Since these words could possibly be directed to the Mizbeach itself, some understand the word Shana al Shana to be talking about the siege itself when animals were scarce. During the siege, there was a famine, as described in Malachim Bet, Perek Yurchet, and they had to suspend some of the animal sacrifices at that time. The mention of holidays also brings to memory Yeravam ben Nevat and the bold move when he changed the holiday of Sukkot to take place a month later, and he made his own holiday, and we could pin that as one of the many causes of the gullet of the northern kingdom in the hands of Ashur. In Pasuk Bet, we're told Yerushalayim will be oppressed when all the surrounding cities are captured by the king of Ashur. And then we know Ashur will come for Yerushalayim itself. There will be mourning, there will be cries and screams. The words Ta'aniya Va'aniya that are prominent in Megillat Eicha are mentioned here as well. There's going to be a lot of fear. The city is going to be a Mizbeach with lots of slaughtering around it. And we're told Hashem will make a circle around it, around Yerushalayim. The enemies will surround it. Pasuk Dalet talks about what the effects of that will have on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will be humbled. Your pride will decrease. Your strength will be cut off. You'll only be able to talk with a small voice, a low voice from the dust of the ground. It will seem as if you are all the way down and have been subjugated all the way down to the ground. Pasuk He begins the description of the salvation from the siege. V'hayak avak dak hamon zarecha. The multitudes of foreigners that come will be like dust. Ukimots over hamon aritzim. They will be like the chaff of wheat that blows away into the wind. V'haya lefeta pitom. We're told that this will happen suddenly. What this could be talking about and referring to the miracle that happened in the camp of Sanherev in the morning when they woke up after they surrounded the city ready to attack and were killed and they were all killed at night. And when they woke up in the morning, they found everyone to be, the Jewish nation found everyone to be dead. We will discuss this miracle several times in the next few prakim. The Malbim points out that Yeshayahu had told Chizkiyahu in Perak Yud Tet of Melechim Bet not to worry about the threat of Asher, and specifically Sancheirev himself, through the words, Hinini notin bo ruach, I will place a ruach, v'shamashmu'ah, the ruach that it's going to be is that he's going to hear something, v'shav la'artso. He will get a thought placed in his head and he will return to the land and he will end up being assassinated there and therefore shouldn't be a threat. So, and that's actually what happens. Sancheirev turns around and goes back to his country based on a ruach that was alluded to in Pasuk He over here. Pasuk Vav says the gezeira will come from Hashem to destroy enemies with loud noise, trembling, strong wind. It's going to seem like a dream to the people of Yerushalayim because they will wake up in the morning and they won't actually believe what has happened, like a dream which we don't know. Is it real? Is it not real? We're also told in Pasuk Chet that these nations dreamed of looting Yerushalayim, and in their dreams, sometimes we dream that something happened, and then we wake up in the morning and realize it didn't. And for these people, the army of Sancheirev, when they woke up in the morning, or maybe didn't wake up in the morning, the reality was very different than the dreams they had for conquering Yerushalayim. Pasuk Tet, the Navi turns to those who argue with him and mocks them and says, Hitmahamu, take your time. Someone who's helpless, they don't know how to save themselves from their tzara. Just take your time in saving yourself. The Navi is pointing out that it's as if you, the nation, are closing your eyes to not see the truth. You're acting like someone drunk, similar behavior that we know was talked about in last parak. In Pasuk Yud, it says, Ki nasach aleichem Hashem ruach tardema vaya'atzem et eineichem. This is because Hashem placed you into a deep sleep and he closed your eyes. The only takana, the only way to fix things, is to hear the nevuot. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatehi lachem chazut hakol kedivrei hasefer hachatum, asher yutnu oto el yodea hasefer lemor krana zeh, ve'amar lo uchal ki chatum hu. The vision of everything has been given to you, like the words of a sealed book, which they give to the one who can read, saying, now read this, and he will say, I can't, because it is sealed. No effort is being made to try to understand. All the prophecy is considered to be in a sealed book by you, or in a sealed envelope, and you think that even the Nevi'im don't understand the visions they receive. So you claim no one can open it, because it is sealed and not meant for me. If the scroll or sefer is given to someone who doesn't know how to read, he will say he can't read it, whether it's open and accessible or sealed. There's no effort being made to try to open and figure anything out, which seems to imply there's no interest in hearing the word of Hashem. The Yodea HaSefer are the Nevi'im who see a vision that is sealed. Hashem has hidden it from them, and the ones who don't know the Sefer are the people in the nation who for sure can't read it and can't understand. And the one that is not sealed, no one is even trying to understand either. So the Navi is describing foolish behavior. And the bottom line is that no one is reading or listening to anything, to the words of the Navi, and therefore they can't be affected by them and they can't change and do tshuva. We could also understand this a little differently according to the Radak, although the overall fault of the people are similar. Yeshayahu tells the people to ruminate on their deeds in Pasuk Tet, Hitmahamu, and reflect on your corruption and why you left Hashem during the time of Achaz, the evil king. Why did you leave the words of Hashem through the real prophets to listen to the words of the false ones? The false prophets were blind themselves and blinded others from seeing the truth. They are not comprehending and are not in touch with reality. The nation isn't. Like someone drunk, it's as if someone put you into a deep sleep in Pasuk Yud. Or we could say alternatively, Hashem does put them into a deep sleep, and that's why they don't hear anybody calling them. They can't hear the words of the Nevi'im because they're sleeping. And Hashem will do this to false prophets as well. And then the Nevuot from the real Nevi'im become hidden from you as well. This idea is similar to what was talked about back in Perek Vav of Yeshayahu, Hashmein Lev Ha'am, the idea of possibly that Hashem placed fat around the hearts of the people so that they no longer would be able to be affected by the Nevuot. Their ears are going to be closed off, their eyes are going to be blinded, so that they were actually not given a chance anymore to listen to the Navi because their actions of disregarding the Navi beforehand led to this consequence and punishment. So again, Pasuk Yud Aleph says that everything is going to be concealed from you. A further elaboration of the flaws of Yeshayahu's generation continues in Pasuk Yud Gimel. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, we have a pasuk that has such a relevant message to us as well as to the people in Yeshayahu's time. Ya'an ki nigash ha'am hazeh b'fiv ubisfasav kibduni vilibo richak mimeni. Because the people have come near with their mouth and lips, they honor me with their mouth and lips, but their heart they draw away from me. Vatihi yiratamoti mitzvat anashim milumada. Their fear for me has become something taught and rote, something practiced, and something not from the heart. On one level, we can understand the word nigas with a sin instead of nigash, which means that when they are oppressed, they approach me. In this case, meaning that they only come to me when they need me. Their fear for me is not sincere. Again, they're doing things out of habit and without much thought. We also see in this pasuk how the people are claiming they're trying to come near to me in some ways, and they're saying the right things, but in reality, they are really far from me. They're exhibiting just outward, superficial observance. It's just lip service, because when given the chance and opportunities to really know Dvar Hashem, they're not taking it. How often do we find ourselves doing actions devoid of feeling, going through the motions, but not taking the time and energy to connect properly? Radak says that these words are talking about that the people only do what they are taught, and they're not going further than what the law requires. They're not doing anything that's lifnim mishurat hadin. We don't see them owning what they have learned. Nothing is really of their own will or desire, or that they want to be a part of mitzvot Hashem. This could be a flaw from Chizkiyahu's generation, because Chizkiyahu did command the people to keep the halachot. And there was a higher level of observance during his time. Yet, the people still weren't really listening to the words of Yeshayahu. There was a disconnect there. And it could be a criticism of Chizkiyahu that he placed such a focus on the outward actions and mitzvah observance of the people, but it didn't really seep inwards, which is why we know and we saw in Melachim Bet that after he died, the people reverted back to the ways, their ways from before of non-observance. In Pasuk Yadalid, therefore Hashem says he will continue to obscure things from them, haflei vafela, and he will do things that they cannot understand. Ve'avda chachmat chachamav, the chachamim will not understand what Hashem is doing. Connecting to the last pasuk, it sounds like if their yira is lacking, if their fear is lacking, then their chachma, the knowledge that they'll be able to absorb, will also be lacking. This nevuah in the first 14 psukim of the perek seems to be talking about the miracles Hashem will perform with Sanherib's army camped outside Yerushalayim. When they were intimidated and surrounded, the people of Yehuda strengthened ties with Egypt, which was not what they were supposed to do per Yeshayahu. Yet the false Nevi'im were saying otherwise. That's why Yeshayahu included also the leaders in saying that they don't understand what's happening, because they weren't leading the people down the path they were supposed to. They weren't thinking big picture. The psukim hint that Sanherib's fall is going to come about in an unexpected way that no one can understand the ways of Hashem. This is similar to when Moshe was on Har Sinai receiving the second Luchot, and when the nation was described as being she'oref, being stiff-necked. But then Hashem says that neged ha'am hazeh e'eseh niflaot asher lo nivru'u. I will make for this nation, I will perform for them niflaot, these wonders that they can't even conceive of. And so it's a similar idea to what Hashem is proclaiming here in Pasuk Yadalid. Some of the details of the downfall of Sanherib didn't actually happen like they are described in our perek, with the loud noise and the trembling. So in trying to understand this, it could be that maybe this was the original plan, and it was going to be more of a war of Gog and Magog in the way it was going to play out. But in the end, the generation was not worthy of it coming about in this way, and it was deferred to Acharit HaYamim. Or maybe it happened on a smaller scale in our Perek. The 2 to 3 years mentioned as the siege ended up being the amount of time, not only of the siege around Yerushalayim during the time of Asher, but also with the Churban Bayit Rishon, the siege was for that amount of time as well. And there are those, in Sefer Daniel, there's a reference to the war of Gog Umagog being around that amount of time as well. Pasuk Yudal said that Hashem will take away the Chachamim when we're in exile. This could be referring to our times, the time starting from in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, where at the end of it, when there was no more Nevuah, when it was sealed, and we don't know when the future Geula will come. It's not known to us. The book is sealed for us, possibly in response to our actions, which caused this consequence, when we didn't appreciate the authentic Nevuah when it was accessible and available to us. Pasuk Tetvav starts another hoy, another Nevuah, to people who think they can hide from Hashem's view and deny that Hashem knows everything, Hashkacha Pratis, and therefore they do whatever they want. They think their ma'asim are in the dark and no one can see. It could be these are people who were serving Avodah Zarah in private. Their mentality is the same, or is the opposite of what it should be. The mentality is compared to the clay of the potter, as it says in Pasuk Tet Zayin. Hafkechem im kachomer hayotzer yechashev. Your backwards mentality involves potter's clay. Ki yomar ma'aseh le'osehu lo asani. The clay, it seems silly for the clay to claim that its maker didn't make it. Just like you can't really claim about Hashem that Hashem didn't create you. Just like the potter makes the clay one way, he can change it. Just like Hashem can change us too. It shows that Hashem has the power now, and he had the power originally when he created us as well. And of course, the message is that since he created us, he knows how we operate, even when we perform sins in private. Pasuk Yud Zayin starts words of consolation. Vishav Levanon la Karmel, Veha Karmel la Ya'ar Yechashev. We're going to see this idea mentioned several times in this Sefer. In a very short time, the Levanon, the forest of trees, of cedar trees, will turn into the Karmel, where fruits and vineyards grow, and the Karmel will be considered more of a Ya'ar, more of a forest. Some understand it'll be considered a forest compared to what the Levanon will produce. Speaking how the Levanon is going to produce so much that the Carmel will pale in comparison. The emphasis on, and the Levanon, by the way, could be mentioned here as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash made of cedar wood. The emphasis on forests could be saying that the cities will once again be full of people like a forest is full of trees. We also can understand the Levanon to represent arrogance and haughtiness, as was seen during the time of Achaz, that comparison to cedar trees. And now the Levanon will become fruitful and productive members of the kingdom during Chizkiyahu's rule, and that arrogance will dissipate. And those minority of people who were fruitful during Achaz's time will now be recognized and honored as and respected as cedar trees in the Levanon during the time of Chizkiyahu. So we're seeing how the land of Israel will be blessed. On that day, not only will the land get an upgrade, but also the people in the land. Pasuk Yodchet reads, Vishamu bayom hahu hacherchim divrei sefer ume ofel ume choshech enei ivrim tirena. Deaf people will hear and will now want to hear the words of the Nevuah, and the people whose eyes were blind and in the dark will now see. Their eyes will be open to truly understand. This can be contrasted with how the nation's actions and mentality were described in the first half of this perek. In Psukim Yud Tet through Chaf Aleph, the tzaddikim will be happy, and the people who were subjugated by the bad leaders will now rejoice. Those people who suffered during the bad times will experience joy. The rejoicing will come when the bad people get what they deserve and the righteous people are rewarded. False Nevi'im who misled the people will be cut off. Psukim Chafbet and Chaf Gimel are the last two psukim that are part of the Haftorah for Parshat Shmot that ended halfway through last Perak. Pasuk Chafbet, Lachin ko amar Hashem el Beit Yaakov asher pada et Avraham. Therefore, say Hashem to the house of Yaakov who redeemed Avraham. We mention Avraham, where we all came from, and was the first to sanctify Hashem. Lo ata yevosh Yaakov. Yaakov, now you have no reason to be ashamed. Velo ata panav yechaveru. Now you will not have to get pale when you see your children, because now they will do good. The children of Yaakov will wear the name of the house of Yaakov with pride, and Yaakov will rejoice and his with his descendants. They will praise Hashem for the great miracle. Pasuk Chaf Gimel sounds like Kedusha. We have the words Yakdishu and Ya'aritsu, like we have in the Kedusha of Musaf on Shabbos, Na'aritzcha v'Nakdishcha. They will fear Hashem and give power to Hashem and honor him. The Gemara in Tanit says, Yaakov Avinu lo met. Yaakov Avinu didn't really die. He lives on in his progeny. These psukim bring us full circle and are a fitting conclusion to the Haftorah that began with the words, Habaim Yashresh Yaakov. The last pasuk in the Perek says that those who strayed before, when they now witness the miracle of the camp of Ashur, will understand Hashem and his involvement in the world and will realize that all the prophecies were true. V'yad'u to'e ruach bina. Those who strayed will now know understanding. The word bina is the ability to distinguish between different things. And in this case, the ability to distinguish between what is foolish and what is chachma. So the people will really master that. Everyone will be able to learn a lesson. Virognim yilmedu lekach. Those who complained in the past will now learn lessons from the Torah. The word lekach, as we learn in Sefer Mishle, ki lekach tov natati lachem torati al tazovu. The best lesson is to not forsake the Torah. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Riva Schwab, Rivka Bat Alexander Sender.